Question one was, as you brought down in class, it says that Huva Chokmas or Echad, he and his wisdom are one. For your day of Mada, he is the knowledge, he is the knower, he is the known object. That was said both about God and the Torah. So what's the difference? That's in chapter 4, not these are questions of 5. So what's the difference between soul and Torah? To explain that there's two, that both of them are godly, but the way they come into the world is different. The godliness of the Torah comes in like light which radiates from the sun. In other words, its godliness is always apparent. As you see it, you are aware of its godly nature. In contrast, the soul comes into the world like a father and son relationship. It's a different entity. And therefore, just like a son can be, even though he has a sensual connection to his father, he doesn't necessarily live that 24/7, in the same way a Jewish soul can be at least consciously separate from God. The Torah can never be separate. The Jewish soul can at least consciously, not essentially, but consciously, you feel separation. Conversely, however, just like the light is not the essence of the sun, the Torah can appear to be, as it were, separated from God's essence. While a Jew has that essential bond, he is godliness. Therefore, we find, Chassidus explains, that a Jew can bring out the essential quality of Torah. How, in other words, how can we see that Torah isn't just light, but it's essential godliness? Through the efforts of a Jew. So on one hand, there's an advantage to the Torah. It's openly revealed godliness, while the Jew is not necessarily openly revealed. On the other hand, there's an advantage to the Jew because his godliness is essential. But the Torah's godliness, its essential quality has to be revealed. That was a question. Yes, but the Jew can reveal it himself. The Torah can't reveal it itself, as it were. The Torah needs the Jew to reveal it. There's an expression in Chassidus that's brought down, David, King David, who mechaber arayis of the kuchi birchu, would connect the Torah to God. In other words, like a lot of times you have the picture of the three rings. Yisrael, the Reis, the Kuch HaBerich, with God, the Torah, and Israel. So on one hand, you kind of, it's always God, Torah, Israel, that the Torah connects the Jew to God. On the other hand, you can also see it as God, Israel, Torah, that the Jew connects the Torah to God. He has the ability to bring out the essential quality in Torah, something that the Torah itself couldn't reveal.
Would you put those rings in a circular pattern as opposed to a linear pattern?
You can. Sometimes the linear, sometimes the circular. Sometimes that works. You know, the LJ. Okay, explain why Torah scholars are described as the Mudei Havayah students of God. Some of you guys got it. A couple of people just says, hey, the Mudei Havayah isn't written in this chapter. that was a couple of these people. that the words Mudei Hashem, they're not in the chapter. They're not. But you understand, but it's understood from the chapter. What is the whole idea of Torah study? Not to study the Torah, but become students of God. To understand that the Torah connects you to God. It's not a separate intellectual entity, but rather it's a means of connection to God itself. Okay. the Olam Hazeh is so much better than Olam Haba, why is Yisid Mashir and Olam Haba given so much emphasis in Torah literature? Okay, so, that's part of, asking, taking the first answer for granted. I mean, she spoke about it so much, how in Olam Hazeh you can have a direct connection to God. In Olam Haba, all you get is the radiance, the revelation of the connection that was already established. So that's why Yafa Sha'afas, the Chuba Maisim Tovim, Olam Hazeh, Yikochai Olam Haba. So why then is Olam Haba emphasized? Because if you want to know what's genuine, truth, and it's not just reward. Oh, you're going to get this. But Olam Haba is called Olam Emes, the world of truth. There's once a guy. He would always. I tell the truth all the time. I got everybody mad. So one time a guy comes up, grabs him by the neck. What are you doing to me? Look, you tell the truth so much, you belong in Olam Emes. But it's Olam Emes.
My was another person who told the story that I in my mind.
The point is, it's Olam Emes. That's the world of truth. What is real? If you think about it, wow. You know, when I'm wearing Torah Olam Hazeh, I got such a, let's take 10 minutes off speaking with Halem. So take 10 minutes off for this. But, there's a big natural tendency that, this is important, but there's other stuff. When you realize that, no, there is nothing else. It's not a question of the reward as much as the truth. This is the reality. And then your whole perspective in life is different. Okay, you got your question? Anybody need questions? Five?
What would we do without Siddur Shavuot?
Oh.
I'm also having to have six, which we'll give out shortly. Okay. So we're in the middle of six. And like you said last time, the Yom Tov in six gave us a real bombshell that what is the Hasidic conception of bad, nothing bad, nothing sinister, but the other side, something which is not holy, something which is not devoted to God. That's the other side. So in other words, you can be doing, like I said, we took away this idea of reshus. Traditional Torah is, there's mitzvahs, there's sins, and there's this whole nice gray area, which is mine. I can do what I want. Comes the altar up and says, no. There's mitzvahs, yeah, that's obvious. Sins, you don't want to be there, that's obvious. And then there's this gray area which you have to make mitzvahs or chas v'shalom. You can head it to the other side. There's no gray area. The gray area gets determined on the basis of your conduct. And what you're doing defines both where you are and where the world is. That's just an awesome idea. And it revolutionized Jewish thought. And for that matter, it's just like so many people, you know, you can go to the traditional Jewish community in America, even the French community. And like, you know, people don't necessarily know that. It's like, some people, you know, it's the old, are you a 3-day a Jew, a 3-day a year Jew? A one day a week Jew? A 3 times a day Jew? You know, it's all like, these are the times which I give to God because He asks for them. So depending on your nature of your commitment, you give more of your time. But you still have a sense of, hey, I got my life, but I'm paying my dues. But there's no, you're a 24/7 responsibility. It's a totally different perspective. Yeah.
How did they explain the sukkim and the commandments of sanctifying yourself in the, like, you know, that's seemingly put onto the permitted.
So, okay, so that's fine. It means be mensch. Don't overstep it. Don't indulge. But if you, but once you don't indulge,
there's no positive do discafia.
Well, it's not even just discafia. The sense of, oh, this is the way. How should I put it? Yes, it's written. And you know, that's there, but it wasn't in the consciousness of the world at large, the Jewish world at large. Now, it's that idea that everything I'm. So, it's a Rambam in Hilchos Deos chapter 3. The Rambam speaks about this in depth and in detail. But, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch and even in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. That said, it's not.
It's more like a.
It's not in people's consciousness. It's like, like I said, just look at people. You know, yeah, just look, here's kosher, here's trade, and then there's my world. And look at that, it takes that out. Okay. Let's start from, we said before that what was Bitzel, we finished this up last time. Says Bitul is becoming part of a hot of a greater whole. Kodesh Baruch Hu, God, what is holiness? God enclosing His Shekhinah, His presence in an entity. How does He invest Himself in an entity? When that entity is Batul. What does Batul mean? When that entity makes itself part of Him. And that can be bepoel, an actual fact, or bekoach, or in potential. We'll give an example bepoel, when we have echad sheyoshev v'soek b'torah shchina shruya, when one person sits and studies Torah. It's 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, and that night his gemara is open, and his mind is open. The beautiful scene, that's what Shechina is. You know, you could, you know, if somebody would paint a picture, they'd have a halo of divine light on this person, because that's what's really happening. Or, you have a kol be'asor Shechina tishar olam. On every congregation of 10 people, even when they're not Osek B'Torah, divine presence rests. That's also an interesting picture. Because you have the people doing whatever they're doing.
Could be playing cards.
Playing cards. But because they're Jewish, and in potential, there is room for godliness there. Divine presence rests. And think about that one for a second also. That's a modern art picture. You know, with all the, you know,
wacky people.
Not because wacky people, but a contrast that doesn't necessarily, you know, like, yes, this is the real situation, this is what's happening. Okay. So now, anything which is not bottled to God, Elodov, rather than a separate entity in its own right, it doesn't receive its vitality from the holiness of God, from His inner holiness and His essence, in His glory and His essence. But from the back, as we said, and we did this last week, we explained the face is where the face, your front, is where you project your personality. The back is the back.
We did it on Monday.
What?
We did it on Monday.
Yeah, we did it on Monday. And we said, back. None of yourself isn't there. And there, from the back, Yodim Madrega Madrega descends from one level to another level. Madrega's nostalgia is almost through the chain-like progression of the spiritual world. Derech Iluel, the cause and effect relationship, it's in Sumim Rabim, in great contractions. At this might, Kokacha or Bechayis, Miut Racham Miut, Asher Yochel, with Samson, Slavishness, Galus, Osadeva Nifran. Until it can, the life energy can be limited so much, one limitation after another limitation, until it can be condensed and enclose itself on a level of Galus in the midst of this separate entity of Theosu Lekaimo, the Ayin Leish. To give it vitality, to bring it into existence from nothing to something. To not return to nothingness and void as it was before it was created. What are we saying? We're saying every entity in this world exists because God is maintaining it. Not because He created close to, 5,770 years ago. But because today, at this very moment, He is creating. But on the surface, if so, the world should resonate with His glory, should, speak His creative process at every moment and every time. If the only reason this table, this chair, and this me and this you is here, is because God is bringing us into being at every time and every hour and every moment, that we should wake up to that. It should be a different world. That's what Gaulus means. That it's there. Let's type somebody as an exile. He's there with all his potential, and yet he can't express that potential. He's there. But there's no way for him to express himself. He's got a master over him, and that master, he can't do anything. He doesn't necessarily even enslave him. That's a separate level. He doesn't necessarily enslave. But no chance to express itself. That's what godliness is in this world. He is exile. Godliness is here, but not apparent.
I would find that by people, I'm not sure, who are in an exile situation, in a prison situation, why do we have this need to express ourselves? Why can't we just be fine with this exile, self-imposed, or prison?
Look, some people are, some people aren't. I mean,
Where does it come from?
No. Every entity, it's like a gravitational pull. Every entity wants to express itself. It's a natural tendency. On the other hand, the more you get away from your essence, the more that fundamental tendency to express your essence gets.
We say that you get closer to your essence. Because your essence is.
Yeah. Okay. So this is. Now, how does this happen? How do we get to this situation where godliness is in exile? So he says, first of all, it comes from the back. When there is a frontal connection, direct connection there really can't be a full sense of exile. That's point one. Point two, it goes through this process of contraction and veiling, which we call Seder Istashus, the chain-like progression of spiritual worlds. That's, you know, in other words, each level of spiritual existence puts one more veil and one more hindrance upon godliness to the point where it's less expression, it's closer to godliness. Until you get to this physical world where the godliness is really, like, it just doesn't express. And therefore, because the world, because godliness is in exile in this world, Nikra Olam Haza, this world, Mulo in its fullness, is called Olam HaKlipos V'Sitra Achra. It's called the world of Klipa and Sitra Achra, because that defines the nature of our world. Klipa, it's got an external shell. You don't see the godliness, the shell is there. And Sitra Achra, the other side, it's got its own definition. I am this. And therefore all of the deeds of this world are hard, and they're bad. And the wicked achieve prominence here. It's not a present thing. But, it's a hard world. Why is it a hard world? Because godliness isn't open and apparent. You know, godliness is open and apparent, and it's fine. Of course, the world has klipot v'sitra achra. It's difficult. Now, I want to emphasize. You know, we said this huge spot. The Rebbe starts the Maamar Bos Lagani, he came into my garden. What is this world? This world is really God's garden, His pleasure place. It's not a bad world. It's a good world. But when is it a garden? When you take it out the weeds. You know, as it's a garden potential. But you've got to do the work to make it a garden. If you leave it as it is, it's the swamp. So, you know, this idea that this world, you know, like a lot of times people come with a negative thing of the world is terrible and it's hard. That's a very fatalistic approach, which Judaism doesn't hold by. Look, that definitely doesn't hold by. You know, see them have an emphasis on happiness, on joy, and I'm bringing out the positive in everything, and there is positive. But, you know, you have to be realistic and see the challenge in order to overcome the challenge. If you pretend, oh, it's a very nice thing. No, it's not a very nice place. It's a rough place and a difficult place. It's a rough and difficult place that you can turn into a positive place. You can turn into God's garden. But when can you turn into God's garden? When you've done the work. If you leave it as it is, then it's a difficult place. Ella, but a klipos, nechlechot kushtei madreika zu l'makam izu. But klipos are divided into two levels, one lower than the other. In other words, we're going to explain that there's a certain level of klipa that never can be refined, never can be elevated. It's stuck.
I'm sorry. In regards to the notes, I didn't see it. I'm not following the version, but the way I put the notes right after that what you just said about like not even one individual what you said, that it's potential. And I just wanted to know how does the note relate to what
He has a note. he says that you know, it says, of course, in this world, well, there are the ten spheres of Kedusha. They're in the Kedusha is there. And they reach up to Atzilus. But all of that, so therefore, for the Eibishter's light is still present in this world. That's the point which I'm bringing out. This is a world where God is present. Even though it's a world which is dominated by Klipa, Klipa is just external. In there is the very essential holiness, even relating to God's essence. That's the point of the note. Okay, so we say Klipa is divided into two levels. One level that can't be elevated. He says like this. The three impure klipas, which are totally bad. Emim tov klal, they have no good at all. They are called in Yechezkel's vision of the divine chariot a storm wind, great cloud. And then it said, and from these three impure klipas, in which Ezekiel's vision of the divine chariot, this is the source for a lot of our spiritual concepts that we have. And so there it speaks about the chariot being surrounded by this storm wind, and a great cloud, and then a light. So we say the definitions of the source for klipa. So from these three klipas, came nishpas, nishachas, nishas, kol, musolim, are drawn down the souls of all the nations of the world, the kiyum gufa, and the maintenance of the bodies, and the nefesh kol ba'achayis tmeis v'suim bechila, and the souls of all the animals which are impure and are forbidden to be eaten, the kiyum gufa, and the maintenance of their bodies, the kiyum chayis kol ma'achos asuris be'etzomeach, and also the maintenance and the vitality of all the foods that are forbidden from the plant kingdom, from all the clear terra, like all the and clear terra. Moshkos is the Beit Chaim Shalom Tess. V'chein kiyim chol ma'isa divu makshov shekosh asal osa selam chayim. And also the maintenance and the vitality for all deeds, speech, and thought of all the 365 negative commandments and their outflows.
What's Kalei Kerem?
Kalei Kerem is mixed species in the vineyard. Okay, what did we just say? I actually have a problem with this. So they ain't behind the told claw. They don't have any good at all. Well, of course they have good. I mean, if we said everything has a divine spark in it. So Reb Rashab actually mentioned this in one of his memoirs. Anybody learn Smicha here? Okay. In Smicha you have a concept of chaticha nasa neveila. A piece of meat is considered as if it's totally impure. What do I mean? You have a piece of kosher meat, and by accident it's cooked together with non-kosher meat. So it absorbs a little bit of fluid from the non-kosher meat, and it becomes straight. It becomes awesome to eat. But what happens if that kosher piece of meat, which became now tray, falls into a huge pot of stew, of kosher food? Now, how much did it absorb from the non-kosher meat? Not much, But we don't say, at least according to Ashkenazic customs, Swadic customs are a little bit different, we don't say that it's only the absorbed amount, we count the absorbed amount, we count the whole piece as trace. We need 60 times the whole piece of kosher meat that became trace. Really, it only absorbed a little bit of trace. But no, you count the whole thing. That's called katicha, not the nevela. The kosher piece of meat, katicha, nasa nevela, is considered as if it became nevela, a dead animal, which is trade. That's the concept. How is that in a spiritual sense? That is aim bem tov klal. Yes, there's a godly spark there, but that godly spark has become so deadened that it's like the evil itself. It's no longer. Its godly power is no longer present. It's just like the non-kosher meat, as it were. That's what the Rebbe Rashab says. But here also, you have to understand it, because, like, I heard the Rebbe once had an explanation of this, but I forgot the explanation, I'm left with my question. A horse is a non-kosher animal. So you can't eat horse meat. It's supposedly not very good either. But you can't eat horse meat. But if you ride a horse to deliver a Torah scroll, you've used the horse for a good thing. What do you mean, aim them tov klal? You're using the horse for a good thing. A dog is a non-kosher animal. You definitely don't want to eat dog meat. But if a dog guards your house, it's done a good thing. If you're the type of person who needs your man's best friend, Rahmanis. You know, it's a shame that this is the kind of best friend you have, but you know, hey, dog's done a good thing. Again, you should really hang say, you know, I had a dog when I grew up, but you know, it wasn't my best friend. Thank God. In other words, this idea that doesn't have any good at all is a little bit, you know. Well, it says goyim are not good. So, is it comes from? Yes, you can't eat goyim. No cannibalism in this yeshiva. But you know, when a goy does something for the sake of Torah and to help advance Torah mitzvahs, he's done a good thing. But he builds a social and moral society according to Shevet Mitzvahs Ben Noah. He's done a good thing. So the same men tell Claude, I have difficulty with it. I guess the Rebbe once spoke about this, but I don't remember what he said, and I got left my question.
Same thing with a Jew. I mean, you can't eat a Jew.
A Jew is... a Jew is basically good. Here we're saying these people are basically klipa. But that the klipa can't have any positive expression at all, no. The whole thing of this world is to use everything for a positive purpose. And you can. So, you know, this aim bem tov klal is a little bit difficult.
Otherwise, what do you have in the world?
Well, look, there is an idea for a choice. But still. Along this vein, when the author was in prison, there were 20 questions that he had to answer. The last of the 20 questions was on this part in Tanya. But here you say that the Goyim don't have any good at all. And then you say that the kosher animals have good, it's just have to do the deal. And so when he asked the Alter Rebbe to explain that, the Alter Rebbe just smiled. One of the the Russians were there. What's he smiling about? Smart goes back. Answer all the other questions, right? Do you really want to know why your cat was better than yours? And they accepted it. Okay. So this is first people of Maas. Chapter 7, we get to Klipas Noga. What's Klipas Noga? Well, the shining Klipa. Really shiny. That it's Klipa, but as opposed to the first people of Maas, which don't let the light and fire of godliness shine through, this Klipa, you can see the light there, and it therefore that allows it, it makes it possible for you to elevate it and use it for divine purpose. It's still Klipa. Get back to what we're saying before. It's still Klipa. That's one of the most important things. Again, that's the Alter Rebbe's breakthrough, that it's Klipa. It requires work and effort. But as opposed to Sosibus Timaeus, which can't be elevated in a direct way, this can. You can use it for holiness, and you must use it for holiness. So that's going to be the challenge of Klipas Noga as opposed to Shlosh Klipas Timaeus, how to use it positively and internally for a holy purpose. It's an important chapter.